Welcome back, everyone, to Campfire Tales. Tonight's true unsolved murder mystery is one of a kidnapping from 1912 of a young boy named Bobby Dunbar, which happened in a small Louisiana town by the name of Appaloosis. And this is Bobby's story. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now let's get spooky. Mistaken identity. Back in the 1910s, small towns in Louisiana were close-knit communities. Everyone knew each other, and news spread quickly. You would see people gathered in groups on street corners, in front of general stores, or at the local tavern, talking and sharing the latest gossip. You couldn't go anywhere without hearing the latest rumor or piece of news. People were always in each other's business. If you wanted to find out what was going on in the town, all you had to do was ask around, and someone would be sure to fill you in. No wonder the news of Bobby Dunbar's disappearance came to everyone soon. But it was not only his disappearance that was puzzling, but the rest of the events which followed that day. Bobby Dunbar's family had a weekend house in Louisiana at Swayze Lake. It was surrounded by a dense forest, and the area was very swampy. In August 1912, the family spent some time there. Besides the parents, there were some other children too. His father, Percy Dunbar, had to go to work, and Bobby had a tantrum. "Mom, could I go out with Paul to the lake instead?" Bobby asked. Paul Meese was a good friend of the family, and Bobby often went out with him. Not only Bobby did join him, but the other children too. Later, the children were called back to the house for lunch. On the way home, they were joking around and having fun. When they returned to the house, the mother, Leslie Dunbar, realized that Bobby was nowhere to be seen. Leslie got so panicked that she collapsed. Bobby's brother, Alonzo, was also panicked. Three people from the company started looking for him behind the property. They thought that Bobby might have gone after his father to work. However, when Piercy turned up alone from work, everybody had serious concerns about the boy. Percy immediately started searching for his son, but nothing was found. Later, a cable was dropped into the lake with hooks. Their idea was to explore the bottom of the lake with dynamite in the hope of bringing something up from the bottom of the lake with the cable. However, this technique could have been dangerous if Bobby was still around the lake. Divers went into the water in case Bobby had gotten trapped in weeds. Nobody was found, except a deer. They even assumed that he might have been the prey of an alligator. They hunted down some of them and cut up their stomachs, but the attempt was fruitless. Then they did an experiment. Since Bobby had been wearing a straw hat when he had disappeared, they put another hat onto the surface of the water to see how long it could float, and it was floating for a long time. So if Bobby got trapped in the lake, his straw hat would have remained on the surface. But the thing is, his straw hat was never found. The members of the family became terribly sad, and they went back to their home in Appaloosis. The friend of the family, Paul Meese, continued the search for days, though. A railway bridge was also checked nearby, but no signs of him were found. A theory then emerged. It was assumed that he may have been kidnapped and taken by someone by boat. Searchers walked along the railway while asking people if they had seen him, but there were no results. Next, Percy contacted the police in New Orleans and told them the story. The family hoped that the police could support the investigation, Bobby's description was printed on several postcards calling attention to some unique features. Bobby's left foot was burnt, and his left toe was a bit smaller than his right. His clothing was also described at the time of his disappearance. Opelousas was a closely knit community. People knew and helped each other in need. In order to find Bobby, a reward was offered to those who deliver Bobby back alive. The reward was a donation by the inhabitants. In spite of this high amount of money, 8 months passed, but he was never found. The money is returned to the people. Then something happened. A peddler named William C. Walters turned up in the small town of Mississippi in April 1913. Locals at the hub saw this man with the boy who was a strong resemblance to Bobby. He was even witnessed whipping the child. However, just unique features regarding his feet were not observed because they were covered. The police decided to catch William and interrogate him. In the beginning, he gave vague answers and then claimed that the child had belonged to his own sister. In the meantime, the Dunbar family was notified, who was skeptical and asked for photos. After the family received some photos, Percy traveled to Hub to see the child. When they met, Percy still was not sure if he was Bobby. "I don't know. There is a scar on his left foot and a mole on his neck where Bobby had one, but I still don't know," he said while inspecting the kid. When Leslie arrived and interacted with the child, he was distant and did not answer when they called him Bobby. Leslie was not sure either. "Can I have some time with him?" Leslie asked and gave him a bath. After a while, she came out of the bathroom. "This boy is my Bobby," she said confidently. In the meantime, William C. Walters disagreed and claimed that the boy was not Bobby Dunbar, but Bruce Anderson. What William claimed was that Bruce was an illegitimate son of his brother and woman called Julia Anderson. She was a caretaker and nursed William's parents in Barnesville, North Carolina. One day, William asked permission from Julia to go away with her son for a few days. Julia confirmed his story, but they left in February 1912 and William had not returned the son to her. William was afraid of being accused of kidnapping because this was a serious crime. He begged the Dunbars to return the son to Julia, otherwise, they all were making a terrible mistake. The newspaper in New Orleans arranged a journey for Julia Anderson to Opelousas so that she could also meet the boy. However, the problem was that the town had already welcomed the boy as Bobby Dunbar. "We organized a festive event for his return, and were hailing Bobby as a war hero." Hundreds of people were out in the street. Flowers and decorations covered some buildings. The family gave him gifts, maybe spoiling him a bit too much. It is understandable that when Julia arrived in the town, she did not meet much hospitality. In addition, the boy had the same reaction to her coming as he had when he first met Leslie. Then things became worse for Julia. The press started to humiliate her, depicting her as a negligent woman who was not able to take care of her own son. In addition, since she had three children from two different men, she was described as a prostitute. Newspapers also mentioned her baby who died and blamed her for being a bad mother. Other journalists called her naive and uneducated. And anyways, why does she suddenly care about Bruce being 15 years of ignorance? The court decided that the boy was Bobby Dunbar. Julia left Opelousas and William was sentenced to life in prison for kidnapping. 2 years later, he was given a new trial though. The boy lived his life as Bobby Dunbar. Later, he married a girl from a nearby town named Marjorie in 1935, and they had four children. He died in 1966, and he always believed that he was Bobby Dunbar. In 1999, Margaret Dunbar Cutright, the granddaughter of Bobby Dunbar, found her family history mysterious and decided her own investigation. It was not clear if her grandfather was in fact Bobby Dunbar. What she did was check the newspaper articles from those years. It was strange that all the articles were inconsistent. Some articles said that the parents had immediately recognized Bobby, while other articles said that their first encounter was full of uncertainties. That the parents were not sure about the boy, he was somewhat different from Bobby, and the boy did not recognize the family, including the brother Alonzo. The story from William's viewpoint donated that the Dunbars might have kidnapped Bruce Anderson. Furthermore, Linda Traver, the granddaughter of Julia Anderson, had always been told that her grandfather was kidnapped by the Dunbar family. According to some people, the desperate longing made the parents believe that the boy was their son even though he was not. Margaret kept searching for the truth. She went to archives, libraries, and courthouses. Then she came up with an idea. DNA analysis could answer the question. To this, her father's DNA and the DNA of Gerald Dunbar, who was one of her great uncles, the son of Bobby's brother, Alonzo. This solution seemed a bit questionable, though. Gerald's family members were not sure about digging into the past, but Gerald intended to go for it. "Nothing changes, whatever the results may be," he said. When the test results came back, Bobby Dunbar Jr., Bobby Dunbar's son, was shocked. The DNA samples did not match, proving that the boy was not Bobby Dunbar. The result made Bobby Dunbar Jr. change the way of his thinking. In retrospect, he remembered a conversation with his father. "I am who I am, and I know who you are, and nothing else makes a difference," his father once said. This also implied a mistaken identity. On the other hand, it was still unclear if the child was Bruce Anderson. Julia Anderson's son, Hollis Rawls, also wanted to clear things up and was going to send his DNA for analysis. Unfortunately, he died before the test could have been performed, but many believed that Bobby Dunbar Jr. was Bruce Anderson. As we have seen, some of the truth has been revealed, but we still do not know the main question. What happened to Bobby Dunbar? There are more theories in connection to this. Some believe that he was eaten by an animal, but his belongings had never been found. According to another theory, he was also kidnapped by William and later died in an accident. In an interview in 1932, Bobby Dunbar, who was basically Bruce Anderson, remembered another boy when he ran away with William. The boy was with them, but fell off a wagon and died, later was buried. This led the prosecution to the conclusion that William kidnapped both the kids. However, they did not have evidence to prove it, but it could be a possible explanation. Or there might be something else that escaped our observation. Something that will hide the truth of what happened to Bobby Dunbar forever.